comes out, I'm hearing for the first time just like you are. And I did want to say thank you to Steve and Reed for trusting me with you all. They're clearly careful theologians, and giving up the microphone is can sometimes be a scary thing. So I appreciate your trust wherever you are out there. I will be speaking on All Roads Lead to God this morning. And just kidding. Completely a joke. And just so you know, leaders of the church, that's when you jump up and scream, you know, heresy. So that's your job, just for future reference. And Benji, oh my gosh, it's just been so fun. What a good man you have become. Yeah. 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 And I also wanted to say thank you to Mike. Man alive, I don't know if you felt the continuity between message and music as he's come up after me, but it's like we tuned our pianos to the same tuning fork, and clearly he prayed, and wow. So thank you so much. You just got a good man here. Way to go. Yeah. Man. Yeah. Well, we've talked about God being steadfastly loving and steadfastly faithful, and that we are called to obey to the brim and to trust feet up. We've talked about God being holy, that is, other than, the other than, the other than, and therefore inviting us to maintain both a communal intimacy and a personal intimacy with Him, and how to do that. We talked about God being transcendent, that is, outside of everything, and also immanent within, and sovereign, and learning to believe that He is good, and our suffering is not without purpose, even when we don't know that purpose. And this morning, we're going to be talking about His triuneness, but this morning, we're going to begin by simply giving credit where credit is due, so let's begin. The Lord be with you. Stand to honor Christ, and let's sing to Him this morning. Thank you. Jesus. Listen to these words from the book that we love, from Isaiah 40. It says, Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood it since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the vault or the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It says, he stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He reduces princes of this world and rulers of this world to naught. It says, no sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither and are blown away like the chaff. And then the prophet says, to whom will you compare me, declares the Lord? And who is my equal? Behold, lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who made all these? It's he who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. It's because of his great steadfast power and mighty love that not one of them is missing. So, why do you say, or why do you complain that your way is hidden from the Lord, that your course is disregarded by my God? Do you not know, it says again, have you not heard? Yahweh is the everlasting God, the King over all creation. He does not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young ones stumble and fall, but those who wait on the Lord, or those whose hope is in the Lord, like Noah was in the ark, those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up or soar with wings like eagles. You know what soar is, right? To rest while you fly. You will soar on wings like eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and you will not faint. Sing the scripture together. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. That's right. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Here we go.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God.
Before you sit down, would you just simply turn to the few people and tell them, peace of Christ be with you, and then you may be seated. All right. Oops, so sorry. Well, this morning, we are going to dive into one more attribute of God, and it is a central attribute of God that it's important that we know and acknowledge and reflect. Just when you thought it couldn't get any crazier, I thought I would simply reveal all of the mysteries of the Trinity. That's right. I define the Trinity like this: God living in community with himself. I know grammatically it's a little bit weird, and we must use weird grammar to describe someone who is simultaneously singular and plural. If you're a philosophy student, this is Socrates, one in the many, but how can a being be both singular and plural? Is he one or is he three? And the answer is yes. You guys are really catching on to me. I feel you. Now, when we try to reach for analogies of how an amazing being can be both one and three, all analogies fall short. Let's just go through a few of them here. Sometimes we've used the egg it's one egg, but it has a shell and the yolk and the albumen, and it has good oneness, but it does not have good threeness, because the three must be same and one as well as three. Sometimes we've used H2O. One chemical unit, and it has three forms, so it has good oneness, and steam and solid and liquid has good threeness, but it does not have good coexistence. The steam and the ice and the liquid don't do well unless you're at that weird, you know. Yeah, thank you, that point. Yeah, bless you. I went to music school, okay? We've also tried to use three-wick candles to describe this oneness and threeness. It has good threeness, three wicks, and it has good oneness, and it has good coexistence, but they don't interact well. What happens when you get these three flames too close together? They become one. They join. They lose their identity. Sorry, it's terrible living inside me. The woman is a saint. So we're playing this, we're playing jazz for this 90th birthday party. And we're over in the corner, and this, you know, elderly gentleman has got this big birthday cake, and his grandchildren come out and put 90 candles on it, and then they start from all four sides lighting towards the center, and we're over there playing in the corner just watching this, and all of a sudden the flames become one, and they just go whoosh, and then whoosh, and the cake just like disappeared, and I was pretty much all done playing for a while because I was laughing so much. But that doesn't work either. This is an interesting thought. The word perichoresis, which some define as perhaps the dance of God, where we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit interacting in a way that they know what the other person is going to do, and it has good oneness and good threeness and good coexistence and good interaction. Perhaps another analogy, the strings on the guitar, which are independent but can also be played together, and maybe the sound of a chord or a triad. How do we think about this three in one, one in three God? Wow. Other things. Maybe it's like a three-process computer. Maybe it is like a dinner party with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we are invited in by the way. Maybe it's like a family where they all have the identical DNA, but clearly different individualized personalities. Maybe conjoined triplets, which, by the way, don't exist. But how do we think about this God who is one and three, three and one? I don't know. God living in community with himself. This is what we can take comfort in, and that is that at the center of our universe is relationship. And not only relationship in and of himself, but him inviting us into that also. I'd like us to take some time and read a small portion of the Athanasian Creed, if we could, please. It'll go on for a little while, and I understand that it's a bit redundant, but this is really what we base our understanding of this triune, three-in-one, one-in-three God. So let's just speak together that we worship one God in Trinity. Let's just speak together that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance.
For there is one person.
Another of the Son, another of the Holy Spirit, the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Spirit incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. So three uncreated, nor three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated and one. Take a breath. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Spirit almighty. And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Yet they are not three gods, but one God. And likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit, Lord. And yet there are three Lords, but one Lord.
Oh, I am so sorry I scared you. And it goes on and on and on. And we're stopping here. You're welcome. But this is... go back. There. Why? Why do we gather around this concept of a God who is both three and one, one and three? The answer is that for the early church fathers, it was the only way they could make sense of the facts as they actually got to witness them. God is a unity which is differentiated within himself, and we simply sit back and marvel. I get that for some of us who want to understand everything, again, here it is again, a mysterious God that is outside of my ability to comprehend. And yet, we can rejoice in this. We can give thanks for this. And we can praise him. Would you stand and sing to the Father, please?
Come thou, almighty King, help us thy name to see. Help us to praise, Father, all glorious, Lord, all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days.
Now sing to the Son.
Come, thou incarnate Word, gird on thy mighty sword. Our prayer attend, come and thy people. of holiness on earth we sing.
And now sing to the Spirit.
Come, Holy Comforter, thy sacred witness bear.
To the triune God.
To the great one in thee, the highest praises be, hence evermore thy sovereign majesty.
So how should we respond? How should we respond to this mysterious God who lives in community with himself? We respond by gathering together in community to reflect this God who lives in community, and we respond by living in a communal way, if you will. We live with each other together. And Philippians 2 is where we're going to spend the remainder of our time this morning. And it invites us to gather and to continue to live in unity. So listen again to the word of God from the book that we love. It says this: if there is any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, complete my joy, Paul says, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Now, throughout the early church, they would use pieces of creeds and things like that to remind them of their oneness, as well as the meal that Christ left us that we'll use momentarily. But instead of reciting our creed this morning, I'm assuming you're tired of reciting after the Athanasian Creed. So let's sing our creed, sing our belief, sing our faith this morning. Okay? Here we go. Our Father.
Our Father everlasting, the all-created one, God Almighty. Your Holy Spirit conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior.
Sing it out.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender, suffered and crucified, forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, we rolled in glorious light, forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
believe in life eternal.
I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
I believe in God the Father.
I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Our God is three in one.
I believe in the resurrection,
that we will rise again. For I believe in the name.
Philippians 2 goes on and says, Thank you. It says that we not only gather in unity, but we gather in humility. And it gives us some instruction on how to live together in community, reflecting this God who lives in community with himself. And it says this, so receive this from God. And I'm listening too, by the way. Do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you consider one another more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Would you just take some silent moments and whether you know them or not, pray for the person on your, that would be your right. Just speak some words of prayer for them. Just quietly. And then the person on your left also. And then let's pray together on this prayer from Tozer. Here we go. Lord, be exalted over my reputation. Make me ambitious to please you, even if as a result I must sink into obscurity and my name be forgotten as a dream. Next one, thank you. Rise, O Lord, into your proper place of honor, above my ambitions, above my likes and dislikes, above my family, above my health, above even my life itself. Let me decrease that you may increase. Let me sink that you may rise above. Ride forward upon me as you rode into Jerusalem, mounted on the donkey. Let me hear the people cry to you, Hosanna in the highest. Bow yourself at the waist and sing.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And he shall lift you up higher and higher, and he shall lift you up.
Once again, humble yourself.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
And he shall lift you up higher and higher, and he shall lift you up.
'Cause our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above
with wisdom,
power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Yes, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. So humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
and he shall lift you up higher and higher, and he shall lift you up.
Amen. Philippians goes on and says that we not only gather in unity, and we gather in humility, but it says as we gather, we are called to remember. This is the great kenosis passage where it says, have this mind among yourselves. So have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. This is the meaning of the word kenosis, self-emptying. And he humbled himself. Have this mind among yourselves, and became like a servant. Have this mind among yourselves. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient. Have this mind among yourselves. Obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This is how we live together in community. This is how the brain surgeon and the ballerina and the janitor and the auto wrecker all sit in the same row in the church and love each other and respect each other and forgive each other. This is how. Have this mind among yourselves. Hang on just a second. Sorry. This kenosis thing. Imagine this. God, the triune God, three in one, one in three, and somehow decides to become immanent and empty himself and set aside his own self-determination. There he is, eternally existent, consistently complete, wholly holy, joyfully joined, beautifully belonging. And yet this triune perfection did not hold on to that, but decided to defer their merrymaking for our sakes. And so somehow God the Son, I don't know, sat down on eternity's slide and let go and ended up in time and space before and after. We don't really have words for this kind of a thing. When my kids were little, we used to play big time wrestling. We would push everything out of the room and to the walls, and then we would I'm hearing this now, but we would put clean underwear on our head and pull hair out the leg holes. That was our wrestling mask. And then my wife would whack a pan with a spoon, and we would all, four kids and I, would dive into the middle of the room and just get after it. I was wanting to help them get stronger and not give up easily and persevere. So every day we did this, I would last a little longer before all the four of them, you know, ended up on top of me and then doing a war dance around me. But it took them a little bit longer every day because I was trying to grow them in strength and in perseverance. Now, I'll just tell you a little secret. I could have creamed them. But if I had, they never would have wanted to play with me again. And so I set aside my size and my strength because I wanted to play with my kids. And this is what God has done in this kenosis passage. He wanted to play with us, his kids. And so he does this setting aside of who he was eternally, unbridled strength, unfettered creativity, unaffected disposition, unrestrained ability. And he sets it aside so that he can come and play with his kids. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, though in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. have this mind among yourselves. And Christ, in his gracious mercy, has given us a way to remember and to celebrate this setting aside. And if those who are going to wait on us for the Lord's Supper can come forward and get that ready, that would be a wonderful thing. What we're going to do, I know you're used to coming forward, but I wanted to have some time and just pass communion, because we are all priests. I'm not a priest and you're not a priest, but together we are the priesthood of God. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is, as we pass the bread, hold it. We're going to sing while this happens, and make sure everybody has, but have this mind among yourselves. Hold on to the bread, and then we will work on that together. Let's sing.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and for content on all my past. Seed from his head, his hand is his.
If you're a follower of Jesus, you are obviously invited to this feast. If you wait until you are worthy, you will die of old age. But if you are a follower of Jesus, we do invite you to to participate in this. If for any reason you decide that you're not ready or don't want to, you can just pass on things. But if those who are serving us would come and get the cup, what we're going to do is we are going to serve one another, and it's going to be passed. And I'd like to ask you to just dip your bread in the cup, and as you pass it to the next person, would you just speak these words quietly? Remember the love Christ has for you. Hold the bowl for the person, let them dip it, and then they can take the bowl and turn to the next person and say, remember the love Christ has for you. So, it is right, good, and joyful that we give thanks to you always and everywhere. Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. Blessed gift of mystery, holy is the one in three. I received from the Lord that which I gave to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread and broke it and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body broken for you. And after supper, in the same manner, he took the cup and said, this is the blood of the covenant poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So, do this in remembrance of him. Take my body broken for you, offered freely if you will choose. Drink my suffering poured out for sin, come believing in me. Take forgiveness. Take forgiveness. Take my body broken for you, offered freely if you will choose. Drink my suffering poured out for sin. Come believing in me, take forgiveness. Take forgiveness. In remembrance of you, I lift this cup. Deeply grateful to you, I lift you up and I worship you. For you say, take my body broken for you, offered freely if you will choose. Drink my suffering poured out for sin. Come believing in me, take forgiveness. Take forgiveness. In remembrance of you, I lift this cup. Deeply grateful to you, I lift you up and I worship you. For you say, take my body broken for you, offered freely if you will choose. Drink my suffering poured out for sin. Come believing in me, take forgiveness. Take forgiveness.
forgiveness. Take forgiveness. This cup, deeply grateful to you, I lift you up and I worship you. For you say, take my body broken for you, offered
Philippians ends with a simple invitation to worship, to exalt him. It says, therefore, since we gather in community and gather in humility and gather remembering the life and the blood and the sacrifice of Christ himself, therefore, God has exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, speak his name, Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Confess it now. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
To the glory of God the Father.
To the glory of God.
Let's stand together and exalt his name. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Well, death could not hold. Veil torn around you, silence the world of sea and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of his glory.
Though you are raised
to life again, you have no rival. Now and forevermore, Jesus.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name.
The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name.
We do pray that our worship this morning has been acceptable to you, who is worthy of all praise and all glory and all honor. We do not get you, but we do praise you, and we do thank you for your mercy. And we do all this in the mighty and exalted name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.